take a ride? To talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is. Ben Chertoff is here from Popular Mechanics Magazine, which did an in-depth examination of 16 of the most prevalent claims of the conspiracy people about 9/11, the inside job people, and dealt with them scientifically. I'm not sure it matters to a lot of people, but they did. You can either read the article yourself or look into it yourself, but there's been a very great deal of research done. Now, that may not matter to a lot of people, like Frank in Tampa, Florida, whose message I'll have for you in a moment.
Are you...
We're just never going to get to it all. But, Ben, there were some claims made, I think it was on the Alex Jones site, that showed a seismic print of what he claimed would show explosives were going off in the buildings, right? And I think that you put up the entire graph, which proved that that was not the case. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it was... It's the kind of thing where when you actually talk to people who made these seismic observations and actually look into what it means, you see that the graph that is repeated over and over again on these sites is this very compressed, very long in terms of time frame graph. So you've got one line that equals a half an hour, and so it looks like there's this massive spike. And I guess the what one of the theories that pulls out of that is that there was this massive expenditure of energy and ground shaking before the towers collapsed, which supposedly bolsters the idea that there were explosives.
Explosives, yeah.
So actually some, in fact it was, I believe, Christopher Boland, who was the same gentleman who had...
that article.
Spent some time calling my mother. He had also called the Lamont-Doherty Earth Observatory, who had recorded this stuff. So we went back to Lamont-Doherty, and we found out that the interpretations that have been repeated throughout the conspiracy sites were actually categorically wrong. That when you look at the graph spread out over a smaller time period, so you can actually see what's going on. You look at it magnified under 1 minute or 30 seconds, for instance, as we show, you can see that there are no large spikes at the beginning, and that, in fact, the bulk of the energy is transmitted when it should be, from what we saw on television, when the debris actually hit the ground. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, the very energy waves that the Palisades Observatory recorded are exactly what you wouldn't see if there were explosives. That explosives actually have a completely different seismic print when they go off.
Well, shouldn't these people like Alex have to respond to this now?
You would think, and that's, as journalists, it's kind of our job to report what we see, but I think a lot of these sites come into the reporting of this stuff, and those who actually do go through at least some legwork of picking up a phone, which seems to be pretty rare, they come into it and they ask their questions with their minds already made up. And it's a lot of picking and choosing what sort of evidence you're going to put up, ignoring a massive ocean of evidence to the contrary.
Well, that's why I asked you about how long this is going to go on. I think forever. Frank in Tampa says, what liars you both are. Shame on you. As you're both agents for the murders, he calls us. You have lost your credibility, Art, and your guest doesn't have any. Liars. That's just what you are. Liars, 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 liars. Nine times he says liars, and that's the message. These minds, if you wish to call them that, are not going to change.
It's amazing, though, the liar argument. I mean, are they calling everyone we spoke to liars?
I guess.
We couldn't find one person who gave any of these theories any thought whatsoever. I mean, it's just categorically the opposite. I mean, are they all liars?
First time caller line, you're on the air with Ben Chertoff. Hello.
Hi, Art. I was just I just sent you an email in regard to two pictures from United Airlines. These pictures, I'm a pilot, by the way. I've been flying for 11 years, and I've taken these pictures at about 38,000 feet, and these aircraft passed over me about 1,000 feet above me. And I snapped two pictures. Actually, I snapped a few more, but just to kind of get the picture and show you what it looks like, the two stripes that people claim that they were missiles and these aircrafts were carrying missiles. I mean, it clearly shows that they were not missiles. You could clearly see the paint themes on these aircraft. United always paints their aircraft like that, and the reason to that is because underneath the aircraft, we have usually antennas that are VHF and UHF, and I'm sure you're aware of that, and those antennas cannot be painted.
Caller, why do you think these people want us to believe there were humps and bumps and bombs and missiles when the real story fits?
You know, it's an interesting world, and you know what? I'll tell you this. This is the only country where you could believe in things like that. If it was in a different country, believe me, especially in the Middle East, you wouldn't be able to speak your mind like this. But this is what makes this country so great, is that there's, you know, freedom of speech.
Well, you're right about that.
And I don't, I mean, I laugh at these stories. It's just such a joke. You know, you see all these conspiracies. Another reason to that is, I mean, I see some of these websites, obviously, you know, and people have written books about these. It's all about money. People are making money out of this.
Well, there is that. People are selling books, magazines, and to be fair, Popular Mechanics in this case. But there's profiteering going on over this, isn't there, Ben?
I believe there is, and certainly Thierry Masson made, I'm sure, I don't know offhand, but I'm sure he made quite a bit selling that book in France, and their DVDs being sold, and there is, to a certain extent, a business going on. But I think your caller really makes a really good point about our investigation, especially. You have on these conspiracy sites all these sort of armchair pilots who overnight, learn everything they possibly can about an airplane from the World Wide Web, which of course is unreliable at best. And then, but when you actually talk to the people who fly these planes, you actually talk to the people who build these buildings.
Right.
I mean, it's just categorically false, all these theories, and they just don't give it any thought. And it really speaks to sort of the level to a certain extent, it's just like these naive views about how the planes and the government work.
A lot of this is politically motivated, isn't it? In other words, a lot of the people getting behind this are Bush haters.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. There is sort of a feeling of, it doesn't matter whether what I say is true, as long as it's bad for the administration or bad for the government in general. I mean, I think some of this goes beyond just Bush. You know, that is okay, and it's, I think that's one of the reasons you see people repeating claims that are just patently untrue, is because there's a political motivation behind it, as opposed to a motivation to actually learn the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly found that very quickly.
Wildcard line, you're on the air with Ben Chertoff. Hi.
Yes, hi.
Oh, you're going to have to yell at us, hon.
Oh, I'm sorry. My son was at the military base here in Florida when they got a call from from the White House. That plane in Pennsylvania, they had an order to shoot it down, but I think it went down before they could do this, because he was right on the phone with me, and I immediately called Fox News.
Well, I sure wouldn't doubt that, ma'am.
That actually, That is the truth. There was an order out there, and they were setting up a combat radius.
And there's something here, too, about you. You were talking about your connection with Michael Chertoff.
Yes.
This came from the mailbag, and it said the shirt part of his name means devil. My Russian dictionary also adds spirit of evil to the definition. This man's name means of the devil, shirt devil, OFF, of the. And I just, somebody just sent me this yesterday.
Did you hear that, Ben? Of Chertoff, of the devil?
That's very funny. My
that's a Russian dictionary.
My dad has said that, too. Apparently there are a couple of different interpretations of it, because as a Russian word, it's not... there's some sort of grammatical problem with it as a word. So there's all sorts of different theories in my family about how the name came about, whether it actually means little devil or not. But it, you know, you want to build a conspiracy out of that, Welcome to it.
Yeah. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Ben Chertoff. Hi.
Hi. I really feel privileged to be able to speak on the radio tonight. I want to ask about the PBS documentary that was shown on 9/11 in plain sight, where Mr. Silverstein, who is the owner of the Twin Towers, said that he had on Building Number 7 pulled, which is parlance for set with charges and explosives and demolished, on the very day of 9/11, less than 8 hours after the attacks occurred. Now, doesn't it take days or even weeks to set charges? So that would say to me that this has been planned for a long time in advance.
Ben?
Well, actually, to set up a controlled demolition, it can take, especially for buildings that size, it takes years sometimes. Then they have to pull out all the support structures inside. They essentially clean out the office. You got to run wiring over the entire thing. You can't do it wirelessly because there's too many signals to these charges. But I'm glad somebody brought up the Larry Silverstein comment, because we certainly looked at that, and that's a pretty simple one. If you watch the documentary again, what he says is they decided to pull, which is referring to the fire department. And, of course, in some circles of the controlled demolition industry, pull is used to mean that you actually demolish a building. Mm-hmm. But, of course, talk to any firefighter. Walk down the block, talk to a firefighter, ask them what it means when you're in a building and you pull. There are two things, and we did this, of course. There are two things pull mean to a firefighter. It means you can pull hoses out of a truck, mm-hmm. or it means you evacuate a building, mm-hmm. because it's probably going to collapse because it's dangerous. So when they made the decision to pull, they literally made the decision to leave the building, which they did.
So they were saying, get out, she's not structurally stable and is going to go.
Exactly.
So that's what they meant by pull.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very simple explanation, and it's the one that's true.
All right, Ben. There were a number of statements made by structural engineers and some others that were misused by the conspiracy folks, weren't there, to the point
absolutely.
Where some of these people felt like they've had their lives ruined?
Yes, absolutely. When I think what you're talking about specifically, and this is the one that made it into press, and this certainly wasn't the only instance we found of this,
right,
was a man named Van Romero, who works out in at the New Mexico Institute of Mining and Technology. He was interviewed by the Albuquerque Journal. I believe it was on 9/11 itself. He was interviewed, and he had. It was printed that he said, "quote." There were some explosive devices inside the buildings that caused its collapse. And that he said that essentially that the collapse of the structures resembled those of controlled implosions.
Resembled those of controlled,
exactly,
yes.
Old structures. Well, soon we talked to Van Romero at length, and he mentioned to us that soon after that hit the stands, he realized that wasn't exactly what he said. And what he had said that day, and this is just from watching it on television, he wasn't there. He was halfway across the country. What he said was, it looked like controlled demolition.
Which is exactly what you told me earlier in the program about the puffs of dust, right?
Exactly. I mean, you can look at that and say, well, yeah, it kind of looks like explosions. Of course, they're a lot bigger than what you would see in a controlled demolition, because you want you actually want the explosive force going into the building and not out the windows. What happened with Van Romero is he called up the paper and he asked for a retraction, and he got one. It was printed, I believe it was a week or two later. Of course, many of the sites just put the initial article up.
Not the retraction.
They don't print the retraction.
That's normal.
Some this is what was even more fascinating, and Mr. Romero went into this with us. Some sites actually claim that he had been gotten to, the powers that be
had, got to him.
Yeah, exactly, and told him to change his story. But of course, he said to us, you know, he has no doubt, absolutely no doubt that the fire, that the Trade Center and World Trade Center 7 fell because of sort of the mainstream view that it was damaged from the planes and from the fires. And he absolutely doesn't think for a second that there were any controlled shaped charges in the buildings.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Ben Chertoff. Hi.
Yeah, hi, guys. Great show. I just wondering, how do you get in a plane, a full-size airliner, to go through a 16-foot hole in a Pentagon without clipping a wing or dragging an engine into the surrounding lawns or knocking over lamp standards on the highway? It seems that the plane evaporated, and there were no wing damage or tail segments or luggage or seating or anything visible, including on that website, Let's Roll 911.org. It's very, very informative. I was just wondering what you had to say about that.
That the, well, first of all, the 16-foot hole that's quoted all over, and it was also quoted in Pierre Nissan's.
Yeah, before the roof collapsed.
Right. The only 16-foot hole was on Ring C, and that was an exit hole from the landing gear, according to Mehta Sozen, who is, had studied this with ASCII, who did the building performance report. And there was the problem, and I think the reason why this speculation was kind of able to run out of control like it has, is because there aren't that many pictures available before.
How do you get level wings that level, that close to the ground, without dragging a cowling or an engine or a portion of that aircraft right through that whole lawn section?
And well, there were. And
leaving fuel burning. There's no fuel burns on that lawn except for about the first 25 feet from the building.
Right. Well, you have to realize that this stuff is moving at 580 miles an hour.
Yeah, but it's compressing against the wall.
Right, so what happens is it goes into the building, and they've done computer simulations of this at length, and you can see exactly where the fuel goes. And it enters the building in a liquid state. There were skid and burn marks on the lawn, and you know, by the time most of the pictures were out, the section of the Pentagon in question had already collapsed.
Jamie McIntyre for CNN was right there live, stating there was no significant wreckage of any sizable aircraft.
Right, there wasn't, which is
how's that?
What you would expect when a plane is very thin aluminum and the thing was going extremely quickly and it's hitting reinforced concrete. The energy involved is enormous.
What about the lamp standards given the altitude of the structure, the first floor being the major impact site, the lamp standards on the highway not more than, say, 40 yards from the building? How do you get a plane to do a left turn nose in into a building?
To be perfectly honest, we didn't deal with the lamp stands. That's something that we might look at.
Seems like that's the way you're doing the whole show here. You're not dealing with a lot of connecting dots here.
Well, our purpose in doing this, and I think I've said this before, but our purpose was not to tell the complete story. And what we did was we took what was repeated often. The lamp stand one I've seen now since, but it's not one that's repeated very often. And I'll tell you that the highway is actually many hundreds of yards away from the Pentagon, and when the plane, when the plane flew in, it didn't just hit the first story. Of course, it hit the first, second, and I believe part of the third story, and that was all documented from evidence that they recovered soon thereafter.
So, that's another one that, if you were to do a follow-up, might be worthy of exploration.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I unfortunately don't have in front of me what the flight path of the plane was, so I can't say.
Is it believed that it hit about 25 feet in front of the impact of the building? Is that about where it hit?
Yeah, part of the plane, part of the fuselage, and part of the wing. And of course, when you've got a piece of very fragile aluminum moving at that speed, like an airplane, it breaks up. I mean, it literally shreds. And you see this in many other plane crashes. I mean, it's not just the plane crash at the Pentagon. I mean, remember ValueJet that went down in Florida? I mean, there's almost nothing left. And think of Flight 93 in Shanksville. There's a perfect example. The thing buried itself, over 30 feet underground, and all that was left, and there's a massive explosion when it hit the ground, were these tiny scraps of metal, because the energy involved is enormous. I mean, it's many tons. It's equal to The energy of a plane hitting something solid is equal to many tons of TNT. And it's something that, I mean, I think there's a very Hollywood interpretation of what a plane crash is going to look like, because it's not something that we see every day, thank God.
Thank God indeed. All right, we are at the bottom of the hour, Ben, so hold tight. We've got another 30 minutes to go. Ben Chertoff is my guest from Popular Mechanics Magazine, which took 16 of the most popular, prominent conspiratorial views and went to the scientists and the structural engineers and checked them out. And they simply didn't check out. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell.
With Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is indeed. Good morning, everybody. From Popular Mechanics, Ben Chertoff is here, and we'll get to as many of you as we can. Stand by. God. Ben, I think that somebody calling himself Big Wave Dave from Portland, Maine, has come up with one that's going to put you right back where you belong.
Great.
He says, Art, conspiracy proven. Under Windows 95 Word program, set font to Windings, plug in QNY22, the tail of Flight 11, and see what symbols you see. This program was made in 1995. Have you seen that?
I have. I love those. I mean, that's like one of the ones that came out right afterwards. I mean, yeah,
I know.
I mean, there's no conspiracy there, but it's really funny. And of course, that doesn't work if you actually try it. I don't think it works. I haven't tried it.
Well, then there's somebody else here who says, look, great program, but sorry, I like conspiracies too much. Maybe there's some truth in that, you know?
Well, they're fun, you know? I love reading around this stuff, but I mean, this is 9/11 stuff.
Yeah, this is 9/11. This isn't fun.
And, yeah, and these are, I mean, these are not your normal conspiracy. I mean, this is just too much, and there's too much evidence to the contrary to really make these work.
That's right. First time caller line, your turn with Ben Chertoff. Hello.
Hi there, Art. I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening to you for, I don't know, probably going on like 9 years now. Okay. I was compelled to call tonight because I really have to take issue with your guest and how he accuses others of sloppy journalism.
Okay.
When
all right, well, be specific.
Well, first of all, the NTSB, according to them, none of the four crashes were given a normal investigation. Jurisdiction was handed over to the FBI. So when he says the NTSB didn't find anything, he's not lying, but he's, you know, saying a mistruth. And that's what a lot of what I noticed with your guest is a lot of it. He's not lying. He's not directly doing anything wrong. He's just brushing off and skipping over a lot of things.
I mean, why were there only... All right, hold it. Let's get this straight. You're saying the NTSB was bypassed and the FBI took over the investigation, so of course the NTSB didn't find anything. Is that what you just said?
Supposedly, normally when that happens, and that's never happened, but normally when that happens, if jurisdiction is needed to be given over to the FBI, then the NTSB is still supposed to be involved, and they weren't involved.
Okay, Ben?
So that's why they didn't find it.
Well, hold on now. Ben?
Well, first of all, I'm not exactly sure where you're referring to our NTSB findings. I mean, it's probably over in the Flight 93 stuff, and they were on scene for quite a while going through the wreckage.
Yes.
And it is standard operating procedure when there is a criminal act having to do with our transportation system that the FBI will claim jurisdiction over that and will control it. I mean, they will work with the NTSB, but the FBI is in control. Now, we were able to talk to some of the NTSB guys who were on scene and able to tell us what they found there. But, I mean, I don't know if you remember the... the train crash is a great example out, well, it's a tragic example, but it's also a good example. Out in California, a couple of months ago, the guy who had driven his car...
Of course.
Onto the train tracks to commit suicide and then had second thoughts.
Yes.
That investigation was immediately handed over to the FBI because it was a criminal investigation. And, I mean, that's just how it works. And... you know, there's nothing fishy going on, but unfortunately, for people who are convinced that there's something not true out there and require all the evidence, and I really think for some of these diehard conspiracy theories, it doesn't matter how much evidence you show them.
That's kind of what I've been telling you all night, really.
Yeah, I mean,
in a lot of ways,
the conspiracy is still going to be there, but you know, the FBI just doesn't release everything right away, and you have to wait till the trial's over for it to happen. I mean, even the NTSB is like that, and I've worked with them on a number of different stories. It takes a while for them to come out and say exactly what they found because they're still conducting their investigation.
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Ben Chertoff. Hi.
Yes. Hi, Art. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Kudos to your guest, and Art, thank you for bringing some intellectual sensibility back to the airwaves. I am so happy to hear your guest tonight. I listen to the talk radio a lot, from one end of the dial to the other, and it doesn't take long for a person to realize that your guest is totally right when it comes to the extreme left and the extreme right coming at this conspiracy theory. Let me tell you, this is my opinion, Art, and I don't mean to personally put anybody down, but I have to say that where Alex Jones is coming from, it, to me, is an anti-Semitic viewpoint. The conspiracy theorists, it doesn't take you long to listen to their rhetoric that they blame the Jews for every world problem that's wrong in this world. And when you've got people like that, it's in my opinion, it's horrible. And from the extreme left, you've got Michael Moore sitting in the DNC convention in the guest of honor box next to Jimmy Carter, spewing the same rhetoric, and unfortunately now Howard Dean at the head of the DNC. Art, these are both groups that hate Bush. One hates the government. One has the likeness, of, in my opinion, of the Matthew Hales of this world, and the other ones, I would be embarrassed if I was a Democrat, and all I can say is kudos. I have watched every kind of thing that you can watch on the History Channel or the Discovery Channel. The plane that went into the Pentagon banked to the left, lost his left wing, going 500 miles an hour.
Right.
It doesn't take a stupid person to understand or a smart person to understand that thing went in like a bullet. And where in the HELL is is Barbara Olson. Is she just floating out there somewhere? I mean, these people are crazy, Art. Thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you, and have a good night. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Ben Chertoff. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
Hello, Ben. This is Travis from Richmond, Kentucky. And I agree with you 100% on talking about the planes, how they hit the World Towers and the Pentagon. I don't think that's really an important issue from the standpoint of what is the crime.
Well, it's only important, sir, because so many of these conspiracy guys are saying it didn't happen.
Well, I know, but I have some other questions that,
well, go
that
ahead.
Aren't answered by either side of that.
That's fine. That's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. My angle is starts with the before 9/11 knowledge, who had knowledge, and so on and so forth. We'll start with Willie Brown. Mayor of San Francisco got a phone call the day before. I heard him say that at the pulpit, University Cathedral in Los Angeles, with Dr. Gene Scott in November of 2003.
Dr. Scott, rest his soul. Now, this phone call said what? What? All this was going to happen?
Willie Brown got a phone call and said, don't fly to New York.
Don't fly to New York.
Right.
Okay.
And I've read some other articles that said that there were a couple of officials that canceled their flights also on the 10th. The Attorney General began flying non-commercial several weeks before 9/11.
All right, let's deal with all of that. Were there any important evidences that you uncovered anywhere along the line, Ben, that people had warning that this was going to happen, indicating a prior knowledge?
Well, I'll tell you, this is outside of the scope of what we worked on, specifically in this article. But, I think you'll see, especially, and I think the story of September 11th will probably be one, at least in the government, in the lead-up to it, as a total breakdown in security. And it does look like there were certainly the clues there from what I've read, and this is not speaking to the story we did or our investigation, because this is really quite far outside of that that scope. We really stuck to the physical claims, but I think what we've seen in both the 9/11 report and what's come out in the papers and the news and the sort of Richard Clark reports is that there were at least the clues there and the warnings, and I think what you take away from it is that before September 11th, there was a major communication breakdown in the federal government. Now, whether people actually had foreknowledge that it was going to happen on that day, I can't say yes or no, because I haven't.
I remember some stories almost immediately after the event, indicating that there had been some stocks dumped. There was a big dump that went on, and that story was short-lived, really. It sort of went away. Do you have anything on that at all?
Yeah, we didn't really investigate that in depth at all, but we did. I mean, it's certainly something that we came across, and that's been coming in emails quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The story there is that there were put options put on American Airlines and United Airlines stock before 9/11, the idea being that somebody profited from it, therefore somebody had to know. And I think the story puts it in the Chicago issue. I'm not exactly sure the specifics of the story, but
I bet the SEC has looked into it.
Yeah, what I do know is that it was investigated, and it turns out that the put options were not just American Airlines and United Airlines, as the conspiracy sites say.
Oh.
It was I think five or six different airlines, because if you go back to early September of 2001, the airlines were not in good shape to begin with, and there was a lot of talk that there was going to be a pretty big downturn in the aviation stock. But there's some one of these investor newsletters came out and said, the aviation is just going bad. Period. This is trending for months. I mean, this goes back months of trends. So a bunch of people dumped the stock, and then there was an actual flurry of trading, I believe, on these two airlines. But from what I've read, and this is, again, outside of the scope of what we did, that was all pretty solidly debunked well before we got into this, because the trading happened overseas. And, you know, theoretically, the bin Laden family does have quite a bit of money, and who knows who was making those trades. But it wasn't in the U.S.
All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Ben Chertoff. Hello.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning.
Hey, kudos. What a wonderful job. Thanks for bringing this fine man on your program.
You're very welcome.
And I want to thank you, Ben, for reminding... I'm a former Marine Corps veteran, Gulf War veteran, and I want to thank you for reminding us that my brothers and our American families didn't go over there just to fight over oil. And for all you callers out there, please give these men some respect here. If you can't contain your composure, pick something else up other than a phone. Now, saying that, Art, you posed an interesting question. You know, we want to find out, why do people want to believe like this? Why do we have conspiracy theorists? And why don't they want to trust our government? Now, you yourself...
Well, I'm not sure that everybody should trust the government. We should keep a very... People in our business should be keeping an eye on the government, but that doesn't mean that everything that the government does is a conspiracy against the people.
Exactly. But that is a question that does need to be addressed, you know, as far as, you know, that part of the process, why people are like this. And you yourself had a remarkable experience seeing some kind of a triangle craft.
Yes.
You know, and we have the agenda, the UFO agenda, of course, and our government's not talking about. And we have the agenda of the chemtrails, our government.
All right. Well, these are all different.
So I can understand why we have this kind of a situation here. And the freedom of mobility, I think, is, you know, the heart of the UFO matter because of the propulsion system.
All right, that's another show, sir. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much, but I'm going to keep trying to keep on track here. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Ben Chertoff. Hello.
Hello, is this me?
Dick, I had to cut that out. We don't allow last names.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
So your name is Dick. We'll start over so we get it in. Your name is Dick. And
I'm one of the conspiracy theorists who was one of the very first ones who came out when the security camera video at the Pentagon was released. And that convinced me. It was a completely data-driven, my conclusions, and I've put the got the photographs out and put them on the Internet, and I just wanted to say that the Popular Mechanics article didn't address it at all. Yet, I believe it is one of the most popular, one of the most persuasive of the arguments. Basically, it's two things. The security camera video that was released shows a smaller plane. It also shows a very thick, creamy cloud of trail of which we presume is a missile, because it's too thick for contrail, heading toward the Pentagon.
So you think it was a missile, not an airplane?
I believe. The scenario that I have, and Professor A.K. Dudney of who's an editor of Scientific American. The view is that the Pentagon, the 757 was there, and it flew over the Pentagon and landed at Reagan National Airport, only 1 mile away. Beyond the killer jet was an F-16 or some other fighter jet that is smaller and differently proportioned, and that's that is based not on speculation, but the proportions are based on the security camera video.
Okay,
yeah, that's based on the 5 frames of video that you see in still repeated all over again. There's one frame where you can see the plane. I mean, you're basing it on that one still, correct?
Yes.
I'll tell you what you have in there. Of course, the nature of security cameras like that to save data and to save space on whatever recording device you're using. It's not a full motion video, so you've got, you know, I don't know how many frames per second that was, but it's, you know, fewer than 30 frames a second, probably closer to 10 or maybe even fewer than that. So you have this one shot of a blurred, completely, because of course it's not a fast shutter, so you've got this blur on the screen. You can barely see what it is, whether it's a plane, whether it's a 757, whether it's an F-16. I think there is by far enough empirical evidence to say that that is, in fact, a 767.
Well, besides, it wasn't F-16 parts and pieces, or a missile from an F-16.
Or a black box from an F-16.
None of that was true.
Exactly.
I mean, you may wish to believe these things, folks, but please, the facts are the facts, and, you know, they're pretty well documented in this article. Is there any other good reading that you would recommend to people who are the few out there that might be teetering or tottering one way or the other and haven't made up their minds?
To go beyond this?
Yes.
There's a lot of bad mouthing about the 9/11 Commission report, and I certainly, I don't want to say that everything came out there as clearly as it could have. I mean, I think they did a pretty Herculean task. It was an independent commission. Go through the footnotes in the 9/11 Commission report. I mean, if you're really serious about this, because you see what they saw, and you get pointed to the actual source material. People fault the report for not having enough evidence. Well, it's all there. It's just in about 60 pages of footnotes in the back. And, we certainly did our share of that among all the other reporting we had. But there's a lot of stuff in there. And it's overwhelming the amount of evidence that there is for the events played out the way most people really saw them played out.
Okay, Ben, this is a part of the show here where I have to ask now if you want to give out your home number. Listen, buddy, thank you for being on the program.
Thank you.
And I doubt that we changed any seriously made up minds, but I appreciate your bringing the sanity and the facts to the program and taking the time to stay up late to do it on top of that. Thank you.
That was a lot of fun. I hope everyone, if you have any questions, go out and pick up Popular Mechanics. It's still on the newsstand now, and please give it a read.
Good night, my friend.
Thank you. Good night.
Take care. See you all tomorrow night. Crystal, as always, with the right words to carry us out of here. From the high desert, the green high desert, good night.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride. Belonging, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you?